This is Doug Miller. Was Peter wrong when he urged all of the disciples to replace Judas Iscariot with Matthias? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back again with the Word of God in hand and with the inestimable privilege before us of speaking into this mic and knowing that this Word is going out to many people. And, of course, when I say the inestimable privilege, there is also an inestimable, that's kind of a tough word, isn't it? There is a real solemn responsibility that goes along with it. And the responsibility is to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and to speak plainly and straightly, and to leave the results up to God. So come along, bring your Bibles. We're in the first chapter of Acts. And we began the book of Acts, a couple of weeks back, 3 weeks ago, whatever. And we have here the history of the early church. And I said at the time, we were in the book of Acts, a transitional period. We are going out of one dispensation into another. And there are many things that happened in the book of Acts during this transitional period that are not necessarily going on today. And, of course, the book of Acts has been the source of much disagreement, denominational splitting off and people arguing and fighting and falling out with one another. And, of course, I hope to avoid that, but it cannot totally be avoided. We're going to be a little bit more controversial in this case than perhaps some of you would like to see us, but we will try to be kind and loving about it. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week this time at Dialogue Ministries Incorporated. This is a nonprofit organization, and we exist solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out, and we are utterly and absolutely dependent upon our listeners. And you've heard me say it many times, and you will hear me say it many times again. Dialogue is one of those ministries that cannot exist without the prayers and support of our listeners. So pray for us. Write our names down on your little prayer lists. And I hope you're praying every day. And I hope you'll pray every day for Dialogue. And tell people about us if you would, please. And, of course, we would always love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. We would also like to have you, assuming you are online, go in and put our webpage address in your little handy-dandy computer and hit a return. Our webpage is dialogueministries.org, .org, not .com. Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters. And you can go in there, and we have recordings on there, and probably aren't doing as much with it as we should, but that is due to my own technological ignorance and to nothing else. So here we go. We are into the last part of the first chapter of the book of Acts. And I hope to be able to get from verse 12 clear down through verse 26 this morning. And if I don't, well, we'll take it up again. But this is a very important subject, and it gets to one of the critical things that you have to understand if you're going to understand the book of Acts at all, if you're going to understand the church at all, and if you are at all going to understand what God is doing right now and what he is not doing. Now, for all of you out there who have been raised up under under replacement theology, for all of you out there who have been taught and who believe that the church has become Israel, and anytime you read Israel, you can just figure that it's the church that is being talked about, you're not going to much like what I have to say, because you are going to find that you and I are in absolute disagreement. And there is no way that we can compromise this or smooth this difference over. The church is not Israel. The promises that God gave to Israel do not pertain to the church. And the promises that God has given to the church in the New Testament cannot be applied to the nation of Israel. God is dealing with both groups. And his promises are going to be carried out to both groups. Now, I want you to remember something. I want you to remember that back in the Gospels, Peter said to the Lord Jesus at one point, well, we've left everything and have to come and follow you. What are we going to get? And the Lord Jesus at one point in his teaching said to the 12, when the Son of Man comes in his kingdom and his glory, you will sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, for all of you replacement theologians out there, I don't know what you're going to do with that one. I know what this guy is going to do with it. I'm going to take it literally. I'm going to say that the 12 apostles have a particular ministry to the nation of Israel and to the people of Israel. There is no question about it. If you take this word literally, as I do, that Israel is going to be blessed. And God has a particular place for Israel, and Israel has earthly promises. They were promised an earthly kingdom. Now, you've heard me say it on here before, and here it comes again. The four Gospels, and particularly the three synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are the Lord Jesus, God the Father, dealing with the nation of Israel. If you don't understand that, and if you have a problem with that, I'll pray for you. But it's very clear. You can read it over and over again in the Gospels if you'll just read it literally and let it say what it says. The Lord Jesus says flatly that he came not to minister to the Gentiles, but to call back and to seek the lost sheep of the house of Israel. When he sent the disciples out two by two, he told them, don't go to any Samaritan, don't go to any Gentile. You go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. When the Syrophoenician woman, the Greek woman, came to the Lord and called him Son of David and said, my daughter is suffering and is sick, please heal her. The Lord Jesus said, it's not fit to take the children's food and cast it to dogs. I didn't come for Gentiles. I came for the Jews. Now, for those of you who are saying, well, I'm a Gentile. Where do I come into this? Patience, my children. You come into it. God doesn't love you less than he loves Israel. But God had to first come to Israel and offer the kingdom to Israel. They had to reject it first. And all of these disciples, every one of them, from Peter right down to the very last, even down to Judas Iscariot, they were all Jews. The teaching they were under was a teaching about the kingdom and its effect on Israel. We saw this back at the first part of this chapter 1 of Acts. Jesus was talking to them about the nation of Israel and about the kingdom as it affected Israel. Now, you've heard me say this before, but I'll have to say it again and again and again, probably. these 12 or these 11, Judas Iscariot's not with them now, but the 11 apostles here and the others who are involved here and who are in the church here, as it were, they don't really know anything about the church. They don't know what God's going to do. To them, as far as they knew at this point, it was just Israel that was being dealt with and Israel that was being talked to. And God was dealing with Israel at this point. There was not, so far as we can tell here, one single Gentile involved in any of this. And once again, if you think these men understood the church or what the church was or what God was going to be doing in this in the church as far as calling in and bringing in the Gentiles, if you think that, I'll pray for you again. Because the church really doesn't come into it until we get, really, Paul. Not that there weren't some Gentiles saved before Paul, but the church is Paul's doctrine. Now, let's pick this up at verse 12 of Acts 1 and see what we've got here. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath's day journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. There they are. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. Now, so far as I know, as I sit here, I can't think of an exception. So far as I know, this is the last time we have Mary mentioned in the New Testament. That's for all of you out there who think that Mary has some sort of central role. For any of you out there who may be praying to Mary. For all of you out here who think that somehow you can't be saved without coming through Mary. The Bible, the New Testament, is strangely silent about Mary after verse 14 of the first chapter of the book of Acts. It is not that Mary is to be not respected. She is to be honored. She indeed is the one who was chosen to bear, to be the mother of Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. But that is as far as I can take this. Mary has nothing to do with your salvation or mine. Mary is not to be prayed to. Mary was a sinful human just like you and me. If you don't believe it, go back and read in the early portions, the first and particularly the second chapters of Luke, and see what Mary says about herself. She calls the Lord her Savior. Now, if she needed a Savior, if he had to be her Savior, what does that say to you about her sinlessness, about the so-called Immaculate Conception? But I digress. Let's read on here. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120, men and brethren. This scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us, and he obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue Aceldama or Akeldama, either one. That is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric, or his office, or oversight, let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, that passage has caused a lot of strange teaching to go on within Christendom. There are a lot of people out there, even to this day, teaching and preaching that Peter was dead wrong in this. After all, God doesn't, you know, honor gambling. And, I mean, they might as well have been rolling dice here or drawing straws or you know, cutting for the high card or flipping coins odd man out. Is God going to honor that? And besides that, and here's where the teaching goes really astray, the 12th apostle was to have been Paul. Some men teach, and some women, and some of you out there probably believe, Paul was to have been the 12th apostle. And if Peter hadn't jumped the gun here and gone haywire and gone off in this strange direction, that slot would have still been open for Paul. And Paul would have been numbered with the 12, where he should have been. And Matthias would have, we wouldn't even know who he was. Well, let me tell you something, friends. The man talking into this mic right now could not agree with that position less. That is absolutely not the case. And let me tell you why, and let me tell you the error that's being made by those who think things like this. Paul says himself that he was an apostle to the Gentiles. He says that in several places, and those of you who have spent any time in this word knows that. He characterizes Peter as an apostle to the circumcision, and himself as an apostle to the Gentiles. That Paul was an apostle, we can agree. That he was an apostle to Israel and to the Jews, we certainly cannot agree, because that is not the word of God. Now, if you go back and read this in the book of Galatians, I want you to understand something. As you read Galatians, this is not just Paul's opinion. This is the Holy Spirit talking. This is the Holy Spirit talking, and he says, put it down. This is true. You, sir, are an apostle to the Gentiles, not to Israel. You will note in the book of Acts, we'll see it later on, that God says, and Paul reports to Israel, you'll see it in the 20th chapter of Acts, I will send him, that is Paul, far away to the Gentiles. Now, all of you Gentiles out there, Paul is your man, and the 12 were sent to Israel. If you think that God intended for Paul to be sitting on one of the 12 thrones, ministering to and judging the 12 tribes of Israel during the Messianic kingdom, you are wrong. That's not what Paul was raised up to do. And therefore, Peter was exactly correct. Because there are 12 tribes of Israel, and each tribe will have its own judge, one of the apostles of the Lamb, and therefore someone had to take Judas Iscariot's place, and that person was not Paul. Paul has a completely different calling. And those of you who are out there thinking in terms of, well, Paul was supposed to be there, and a part of your problem is you are failing to understand the dispensational teaching that is going on in the Bible. And you are failing to discern the difference between the church age, which we are in now, and the age that preceded the church age, the age of the law. And you are failing to discern the difference between the church and Israel. There's a big difference. The two are different. And for those of you who don't see this and say, oh, well, you're one of those dispensationalists, Miller, right. That's exactly what I am. Never made any pretense at anything else. Don't intend to be anything else, because in order to not be a dispensationalist, you have got to not take this word literally. You've got to get into all kinds of allegorizing and spiritualizing. Peter was exactly correct, and he was indeed led by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you think that today, given the fact that the Holy Spirit has come, and given the fact that we have the completed Word of God, if you are one of these guys who think you can still determine God's Word for your life by rolling dice or casting lots as they did here, you're wrong. God is not working that way now, but he certainly has worked that way in the past. And there's more than one example of this in the Bible that you can find, where here are individuals, for example, in this first chapter of Acts, they don't have the New Testament. They have none of the New Testament at this time. All they've got is the Old Testament. They knew, of course, things that Jesus had talked and taught. The Holy Spirit, however, had not yet come in his fullness, as he is about to in the second chapter. And therefore, did God lead and guide them in ways that he wouldn't need to lead and guide us today? Absolutely. Peter is exactly correct, and there is no question but that the hand of God is upon these men as they picked a 12th man to fulfill this ministry. There needed to be 12 of them. Paul was not the 12th one. Paul's calling, once again, was completely different. It was something altogether different. And for all of you Gentiles out there, once again, your man is Paul. He's the guy you want to listen to and be guided by, because he's the one whose doctrine was the doctrine of the church. You will learn nothing about the church or church order or how the church is organized or any of the things you need to know as a Gentile in the church. You'll learn nothing of that from Peter, James, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or any of these Jews. They didn't know anything about it. Once again, at the risk of repeating myself and becoming boring, the church is Paul's doctrine. Now, we are at the end of this chapter, and I know that some of you have disagreed with me. That's fine, but you're going to have to show me very clearly where Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, was supposed to fit into this Jewish ministry. He doesn't. And he never intended to and never claimed to be able to. In fact, he said, "I magnify my office and my calling." What was his office and calling? It was to the Gentiles. Now, we are at the end of today's broadcast. We will begin next week in Chapter 2, and if you think what I said is controversial this time, wait till we get to the coming of the Holy Spirit next time. I hope you'll all be back then and pay close attention. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.